The item four, consider and take possible action on selection of Labor and Employment Council. Is Karen?
Senator David.
Front, thank you.
Chair, good morning.
Good morning.
You have today a recommendation from the committee that you appointed to review the proposals from law firms for Labor and Employment Council. The committee met, reviewed the proposals, interviewed the top candidates, and is recommending to the full board to retain the law firm of Wiley, Price, and Radulovich as Labor and Employment Council, and also to continue Cicera's existing engagement with Reed Smith for special employment law matters on an as-needed basis. The Wiley, Price, and Radulovich law firm you're familiar with, you selected already Joe Wiley as your chief labor negotiator. They are experienced in representing public entities, and specifically they represented the Superior Courts when they separated from the county and became independent in 2002. The firm handles labor and employment law matters exclusively, predominantly for public entities. The firm has experience drafting and negotiating employer-employee documents, resolutions, MOUs, ordinances, and personnel policies and guidelines. They have experience advising public entities on Myers-Millius-Brown Act matters, the MMBA, as well as representing their clients before the PERB, the Public Employment Relations Board. The firm is small, six attorneys. It is located in Alameda, and we think that it is uniquely positioned to provide legal advice and representation in employment matters unique to newly independent public entities. Moving on to Reed Smith, the board is also familiar with Reed Smith. It is a global law firm with more than 1,800 attorneys. Its labor and employment practice consists of 36 partners. The firm has handled a number of employment matters for similar public entity clients with positive outcomes. And while the firm does not have MMBA or PERB experience, it has counseled and represented employers in both the public and private sector, and would continue to provide efficient and knowledgeable counsel to Cicera on special employment matters. We do have both firms here, and they can come up and talk to the board, answer any questions you might have. Before we invite them to come up here, if the trustees that were on the committee or anyone else would like to make a comment or ask questions, we can go ahead and do that.
I wasn't present at the last meeting because I was sick, but thank you for calling me and informing me of what the total committee had decided. And just to my fellow committee members, I want to tell you, when I ran through the information, I felt very similar to you and was in favor of the person that we chose. Just want to let you know that up front when I ran through the stuff. Okay.
Great. Well, let me invite the Wiley, Price, and Radulovich firm to come up. Hi. Nice to see you.
I think I've met all of you, or just about all of you. I'm Joe Wiley, and this is my partner, Masashi Ohira, who has met some but not all of you, I believe.
Are there any questions? Would you like Joe to talk a little bit about his firm?
One of your clients is Martinez City. I live in Martinez, and I live in the city. Can you tell me how extensively you were involved with them, not only on terms of labor negotiations, but also in terms of if there was something, and I don't need names of people or anything, but if there was an incident that arrived where your expertise was needed, what was that incident? What was the expertise?
I did labor negotiations for them on two rounds of their labor negotiations about 4 years ago, when June Catalano was their city manager.
Okay.
And I negotiated with Local One. We are not presently doing their negotiations, although we have gotten calls for advice.
Okay. Okay. So it was 4 years ago?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. I think it's a little longer, because June Catalano is now the city manager in Pleasant Hill, and I was on the
It may have been right around that time. She's been with the city of Pleasant Hill at least four or five
years. She left Martinez, I know, to go to Pleasant Hill, but we worked with her when she was the city manager in Martinez.
Okay.
Time flies, Joe.
It does. And unfortunately, it flies faster and faster and faster.
As you get older, I know.
It really does.
The nice part about it is Christmas just comes around all the time.
Yeah, the grandkids love that.
As I mentioned earlier, Joe was involved in helping the courts when they became independent. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience there in taking what used to be county personnel documentation or contracts and converting them into an independent district type document?
Yes. In 1997, a task force was created to examine the status of trial court employees statewide. They had historically been part of the county and funded through the county. And there was an examination by this task force as to what should their status be. Should they be state employees? Should they remain county employees? Or should they become, in effect, special district employees? And the legislation that was ultimately passed and effective January 2001 made them special district. So like you, they were part of the county. They were covered under county policies, county MOUs, and left the county to become an independent, separate employer. To hire, terminate, make decisions, negotiate labor agreements, have their own personnel policies. One advantage that they have that you don't have is that their statute had a lot more guideposts about what the expectation was, what the timing of things were going to be. Yours is gives us a little bit of guidance, but not as much guidance as the Trial Court Act gave us. But the same principles are there. You have to establish employer-employee relations rules. You have to establish personnel policies. You have to get in and renegotiate your labor agreements and try to do all of that with the minimum amount of disruption and stress for your employees, because change can be stressful for people, and you try to get in and try to do as much of it as we can without creating that stress with the change.
What are examples of guideposts that the courts had that we do not have?
They had timings on when things had to happen by. So they had 90, 180 day. I think some of them were even 2 years out when certain things needed to happen. And then it had defaults if it didn't happen, such as how long you lived under the old labor agreement, which yours is a little unclear about. And so we had some of those kinds of guidances. It also gave us guidance about I think 2 years to 2003 about transfers back and forth for employees that wanted to transfer from the new entity back to the old entity or from the old entity to the new entity, and what seniority and personnel rights they may maintain with respect to those transfers, those kinds of guideposts.
So like their seniority and other issues.
Exactly. So what it provided, in a nutshell, was that employees for the first, it was originally, I think, a briefer period, about 6 months, mm-hmm. and then it was extended to about 2 years to allow people who said, you know, I decided I was going to come over here, but I've had second thoughts about it. There's an opening back over here. I want to move back, but I don't want to lose my vacation accrual, my seniority, those kinds of things. And so by statute, they were allowed to do that, which eliminated any ambiguity. It eliminated any question from the two employers as to how is this going to happen, if at all.
What major obstacles do you see us having?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you see us having any major obstacles you can say right now?
I don't see any right now. I think probably the hardest thing that we have to work with the unions on is being sure we're all on the same page as to how we go forward. But no, I don't see any particularly hard problems to overcome. We have to get we've talked about prioritizing and getting the employer-employee relations rules in place and the personnel policy in place as a first priority, and we're working on getting drafts of those to your staff for their initial review, and that then not long after the first of the year, we'll look at presenting them to the labor organizations and beginning the meet and convert process over the employer-employee relations rules, personnel policies. Once we're done with those, move on to negotiating a new labor agreement.
I'll share with you a comment that I heard at one of the conferences I was at. We're the only 37 Act county that has gone completely independent from the employer. And this board initially was very excited and happy to have that happen and wanted to see it happen. And so we were excited about doing it. But at the same time, I went to a conference and a CEO from another 37 county came up to me and he said, Jerry, he says, I'm really glad you guys are doing it. You're laying the groundwork. A lot of us want to do the same thing. He says, but be careful for what you ask. And it kind of like hit me right in the face. I mean, up to that point, I was very positive about the whole thing. Then it hit me, and it was exactly all the things that you're talking about. We now have to consider, and we have to work out. And I'm glad for the current CEO we have because she has been through similar things. I'm glad for your firm because you have gone through it. And so between the two of you, I'm really excited for the way things will fall. And maybe that what hit me in the face won't be as hard as I originally thought when the comment was made to me. So I'm excited, and I'm very hopeful that this works out for our employees because they're great people. This is a great organization, and we've done a lot of good things over the years, but one of the areas that we've lacked in is salary negotiations and helping our people. And I'm very hopeful that this process will bring us along. I may need some counseling from you down the road about what can and what cannot be revealed or said, because I want to be very cautious about that. I have sat on the labor side my whole career, and now I'm sitting on the employer side. And so I need to be careful about, you know, that
good
stuff.
Good rule of thumb is to not say anything.
Yeah, I got that. I got that when Harvey was talking to me.
Just say no, Jerry.
Just say no.
It'll be fine.
All right. So anyway, that
it's a new muscle we have to learn to. I've learned to exercise it. It's not an easy muscle to exercise.
Well, as a member of the committee, I'll just say we met, I believe, twice. Because we did an initial review of all of the responses, and we got it down to the group that we wanted to interview, and I think I can speak for everybody that was involved. We were really pleased with the choices we had. We had very, very thorough interviews with all the finalists, and I think to a person we felt the same way. I know you weren't there because of your illness, but
sick.
We certainly came to congeal and felt the same way and strongly that this was the right path. We have we have a very specialized firm here with the Wiley firm, and we have excellent counsel and vast resources with Reed Smith that currently works well, and we thought it would continue to work well in this environment. So at least on behalf of the committee, I would strongly recommend the action in appointing both of these firms as recommended.
And can I second that?
I guess that was a motion, sure.
Yeah.
I had suggested that after we go through this process, before we take the vote, that the representatives of both firms step outside just so that...
You're the chair.
May I suggest, Mr. Chair, to allow Reed Smith to come up here?
Yeah. Yes.
The board knows Harvey very, very well, but I don't think the board knows the other two on the team yet. I think it's appropriate to have them come up, and I'll invite them to come up and speak to the board briefly before the vote is taken, if that's okay.
Yes.
Yeah, you know me, I'm in too well. I want to introduce my colleagues, Tiffany Thomas and Deborah Broyles.
Morning.
Some of you may have worked with Tiffany already. Haven't had a chance to work with Deborah yet. I'm going to let them take it over because they're the labor and employment specialists in our firm and have all the experience. And Jerry's comments about SB 673 are good. I feel like I'm going to channel Moses here a little bit. I feel like I've taken you to the promised land. Now I'm going to set you free. And now you have to make your way in this new world that we've created. I am as excited as you are about the opportunity for the staff and for the board to guide its own ship. But I'm going to let them talk to you about their talents and capabilities. and answer any questions that you have. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Harvey. Good morning, everyone. In case you're wondering, I'm Tiffany, and this is Deborah, but we both answer to each. first, we want to thank you for having us and for considering us. Deborah and I have been, as we like to call, the dynamic duo since she joined Reed Smith in 2008. And since then, we've been working really closely together to advise both private and public employers in various aspects of employment law. We are very excited to continue the relationship that I've developed with this organization over the last year and a half, 2 years or so, where I've really gotten to get an understanding of your business and your employees and how important they are to you. So in that capacity, I'm really excited to be able to help you make this transition and to continue my work and always getting advice from Deborah and working directly with her to kind of come up with creative solutions to resolve and address some of the unique situations that can arise for entities such as yourself. So we're happy to take any questions that you have.
Tiffany, can you describe the creative solution that you've used elsewhere?
Sure. We've had instances for, I'll give you another public employee situation. And this is one that's not, you know, they're looking up to you guys because they're looking forward to doing something similar with their employees. But in this situation, it was a very unique kind of disability issue. The employer was very sensitive to the special concerns that this employee had because of a health issue. The law required one thing, a policy required another, and then we had a county requiring something else. And what I did was, you know, instead of arguing about who's right, instead of, you know, just taking the employee saying, you know, look at my condition, look at me, instead of just looking at the employer and saying, you know, we have a business to run, we can't keep going down this route, we got all the people in a room together. And, you know, a lot of people look at us lawyers as someone to just kind of tell you what you can't do or tell you what you have to do. But in situations like this, and I think it'll be useful in my work here for Sarah, is to bring everybody together, get everyone's issues on the table, and then to try to come up with a creative solution to resolve it. And so in that particular situation, you know, once everyone actually heard each other and, you know, you kind of get out of the email and the phone call and the terse phone calls and you just really work towards a solution while looking at the individual and the individual circumstances, we came up with a resolution that worked out for everyone that's still working to this day. And it's been about a year now.
Yeah, let me just jump all in and also say that because of the nature of the process by which we were able to interview all three firms, we had a chance to explore some of the innovative approaches, particularly to litigation, that Tiffany and Deborah have employed. And I'll tell you this, I think we came away feeling like this is a group and certainly two folks who, when given a particular situation or a circumstance, can figure out how to get to the quick of it or how to solve it. They're all about problem solving. That came across in the interviews in terms of dealing with it. It whether it's the most efficient manner or the most effective manner or the least disruptive manner, we had a chance to kind of get into those issues with them. So I feel very, very confident that we have the right group here.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Any other questions?
Deborah, would you like to say something?
I to see her get short-changed.
I thought I was going to escape without having to say anything. you know, I'm sort of new to the team here in the game, but I have to say, I have to echo your comments that I'm actually very excited for you. I think this is an interesting and exciting challenge that you're undertaking here. And we do a lot of advice with startup organizations, and I sort of view you in that way a little bit. And listening to your labor counsel, I think he very well covered all the different areas and things that you're going to need to be thinking about and that we would need to be brainstorming with you about as well to make sure you know, we're doing everything right on the employment side, the policy side, the traditional labor side. So I think you know, we're in a great position to advise you well in those areas, and looking forward to working with you and really, really partnering with you to figure out the best way to bring this about, not only for the employees, but for all of you too as new employers.
A question of the committee. Obviously, two excellent organizations and law firms. Did it really come down to the issue of the finances?
Well, I can speak to that a little bit. I think we had an advantage. I can't speak for the rest of the group, but in looking at the proposals, one of the advantages and disadvantages for me is that we came down to two very solid firms. Sometimes it's kind of easier to say that's the clear winner, but there wasn't a clear winner. We already have an established relationship with Reed Smith. They've already done a lot of work for us on an as-needed basis in addition to the fiduciary counsel, and it's been high-quality work. There are some synergies that I saw that I recognized between with Wiley's firm and Wiley Radulovich. I'd be less than honest if I didn't say that the fee structure did come into play. It wasn't the deciding point for me, but I think it was a factor, because one of the things that I can envision is that, especially as a startup, we're going to burn through a lot of hours, regardless of who we're using. It's not like we have a well-worn path or a map to follow. And the fact of the matter is, depending upon whether the hours are roughly the same, you're going to be burning almost twice as much.
I don't envy the decision you made, because you're right. They're two excellent firms, and it's like two favorite children. And which one do you give some? Anyway, go ahead.
My house, it's both. That's what happens. No,
because you have two children.
I have two children. It works that way.
The Solomon-like approach.
Slightly different angle on it. I agree with everything Jerry said, but I came at it from the standpoint that at least I felt I didn't have to choose one amongst the three we interviewed. I kind of came in with the idea that I want to hear what everybody has to say. I want to get a feel for the people. I've read all the stuff, right? We've read the responses. We got a feel for it, but you're able to sit down and interact with people, whether it's 30 or 45 minutes. I think most of the interviews were random, somewhere around 45 to 50 minutes. It was right in that time frame. And so to me, the choice, while affected by finances, actually got down to how did the particular firm fit the particular need that we had? And it just seemed like we wound up with, sort of by happenstance, an idyllic situation where we could find two firms with differing strengths in key areas for us that we thought made a real effective team. So for me, anyway, I didn't feel burdened like I was down into the finals of having to choose one person, choose the one child, if you will. So for me, it became a question of the right firm for the right job. There's a day-to-day aspect that we're going to have as an employer. You know, Jerry's alluded to the discussions he's had that you know, we're going to have challenges. I mean, I'm a glass half full guy, so I think it's going to work out, and we're going to get through it. We thought the way we kind of divided up the work of these firms reflected that probably on balance, the Wiley firm was better situated to handle the day-to-day, given the experience, the type and kinds of advice they give on a daily basis. So for us, it got down to making those parts fit. And while money always comes into it, and because of our fiduciary responsibility, it does come into it and did, I think ultimately it got down to what was the best fit for the need, and that's how I made my choice.
Yeah. I'll reiterate, it's kind of where I was too.
And honestly, when we made the decision, I didn't factor in personally the finances at first. I looked at exactly what Scott was addressing, what our needs were, especially in the immediate needs going into the new year. And it just seemed like a perfect fit for the hand and glove between the two to work with our system. So I think we did a good choice.
A part of it, too, is I always like the idea of a second opinion. And we have that opportunity with this system that we're putting together. And so I really like that. And that's what sold me on the part of Reed Smith was good. We got a second opinion, too. So, all right. So we may call you on the carpet there, Joe. No, decent.
I have no objection to a second opinion.
Okay.
None whatsoever.
Okay, anything further? Probably this is a natural time to ask each of the representatives to step outside.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Coming over.
Thank you, you guys. Thank you.
That poor Deborah, I didn't want her to have wasted the BART fare.
I was glad you engaged
Good
her.
Job, Jerry.
Any further discussion? Well, we can go ahead certainly with a motion. And
you go ahead.
I would move the recommendation in the November 25 memo to employ Wiley, Price, and Radulovich for our day-to-day labor needs. To continue our existing relationship with Reed Smith to provide counsel and litigation services on a case-by-case as-needed basis.
And I'll second that.
Okay. Any additional discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Unanimously in favor.
Hey.
Thank you. Any reason to bring them back in at this point? To certainly let them know that we...
I can go have a talk with them.
All right.
If you'd like me to bring them back in.
Well, no. They're welcome to come in if they want, but they don't have to.
I know in my old practice days, the answer was, once you got the job, leave.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Don't take a victory lap.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Don't stick around to answer one more question. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think Karen's bringing them back.